Scripture reading is from Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for bringing us together, Lord, to worship you, Lord. Pray that Pastor John's message would be a blessing to us all, Lord, and we would feast on it in our hearts, Lord. Pray that it would be your words and not his own, Lord, knowing each gain something from it. Amen.
I'm going to do some review. And the review is of this series we had in February, where, thank you, you've got a back screen to go on. It's so much easier for me. This series is Finding the Heart of God here in February. The devotions, I trust that you love those devotions. Weren't they good? I don't know any devotions I've read that are any better than this. I'm kind of biased because I know the gals that wrote it. But it's just so theologically sound. It had depth to it. It had helpful applications. We enjoyed that at our house. I trust that you did. And notice it ever so slightly in coordination we had. We're talking about love here. The heart of God. And we're reviewing 1 John 4, 1 John 5, Matthew 22. It's in the notes that you have. If you don't have the notes, send us I put it on the comments or probably keep it private. Send an email to us, pastor@perryhill.org. Hey, if you're sitting here and you don't get it, pastor@perryhill.org, call the church office. And add yourself to the list so each week you can get the notes and the songs and the bulletin if you would like to have any of those. So in this review, the heart of God, we've got these points. Today we're going to be talking about love the nations, make disciples. That's where we're going. But we're going to start with where we've been. Number one, the heart of God is love. So love God with, we could say with all your heart, and it's a love God with all you are. God loves you with all he is. And the best we can, we want to love God with all that we are. Everybody's ready for that. Yeah, I do a fine job. But then he gives you these other things to kind of clarify how well are you doing with this. And so the very next one, if you love God, you will keep his commands. Now, how much are you loving God? Because you can't say, I want to pick and choose. I don't want to do all of God's commands. I just want to do the ones I like. Well, you don't really love God, do you? You're faking it. Let's just be honest. You're faking it. So we think, we hope, we pray, that during this time, each of us has found at least one more reason why it's important to find what God commands. And not because God is like some mean guy. It's time to make life hard and no fun for us. He loves us. And he gives commands out of love. Because every command, Josh McDowell teaches this, every negative command has two positives. Because that negative command that says, don't do this, it's protecting you from something that's not in your or my best interest. And secondly, it's providing you with something that you would never have apart from it. So say it's a sexual thing. You're never going to have sexual purity if you're not following what God says. Or say, it's like that we have this thing, maybe we should be praying a little bit. But what's God providing? The stability, the depth of life, and joy of a relationship with him. There's so many, the negative people, this is so negative, but God is giving you positives. Two for one. Every negative that you follow, you're going to get two positives at least. That's because of God's love. If you love God, you will keep his commands for many reasons, including that you love God. Third on this list, if you love God, remember, we all love God. We love God. If you love God, you will love one another. Remember, one another, that means fellow believers. And it's easy to love that fellow believer that you never see. But the people that you rub shoulders with, got all this tape, we're not rubbing too many shoulders with, but still, the people that we interact with in life, Can we show love to each other? Well, certainly we can. If we love God, because we know that this is critical, this is important. Did you pass the test? Have you given some time to some members you didn't know? Is it a devotion? Did you do it one time and say, good, I don't have to do the rest of my life? Or are you going to call somebody again that you don't know that much? You know, there's only, I'm going to give you a test in a second. Did you do that? Because we're supposed to love each other if you love God. If you don't love God, there's no command for you to do that because you're not his. And then two more sets of things to be learned. To love your neighbor well. And you remember in there where it said, you only have to do it if they're nice? You only have to love other people if you like them? No, we missed that part, didn't we? It's not in the Bible. It just says love. I mean, even if you're your enemy, we can love an enemy. So let me just give you a test. Let's give you a test. When we had our full service, whatever, one time before the pandemic stopped us, we had a couple that sat down here who were deaf. They cannot hear. All right? Mm-hmm. In your mind now, I'm not asking for an answer, what are the first names?
Rob and Deb.
Yeah, I am. I said, I'm not asking to say that loud. All right?
Rob.
And what was her, what's the name? Don't say that loud. What's the name of her favorite pet? And what's the name of his favorite pet and healthy? Or I can just ask you this. How many times did you ever come and greet them and say hello? Oh, you could say, oh, I don't speak their language. You know what? I don't either. I don't speak their language. But let me just tell you, I want to teach you some non-sign language that works right now. That works. They lip read. Debbie, and you have it right. Debbie goes to conventions without a translator. She's a deaf person that thinks she's here. Because she has no fear with that. And yet, we're hearing people, we're afraid of little deaf people. Because I might do this and not know what to do next. I don't speak any, but here's, if you know this right here, this is good, or thank you. And so, you can say good morning, but that, you know, that's going to be like more complicated. You have to have like the sun is rising up, and this is the ground, so it's good, morning sun rising up. Here's another one you can do. I'm shooting my whole body. Good to see. Now don't poke your eyes out when you do this. It's really hard for me to do this. Good to see you. Do you know what that would do? That would warm their hearts. And some of you do that. And some of you don't. And yet you're all commanded to love one another. And it doesn't say love them if it's comfortable. Love them that it's easy. You can do, see what I've done? I used to speak a lot more sign language. I don't practice. I used to do the whole alphabet. I don't do that anymore. I haven't practiced it. But I can still go up and greet them. And I can do longer than that. Because I just wrote out a piece of paper. Or make stuff up. Robert is really, really good. He can figure out what you're doing, and he'll say the same thing that you figured out. He'll go over and over and over. I just have a piece of paper. But yeah, I've seen another person in church do it. He goes up, he just takes out a cell phone. Type thing in a cell phone. And then type the thing back to the cell phone, you go back and forth to the cell phone. A little slow, but it's a lot better than, you know, hi, and now we're done. I even forget, like, how to say, how are you? I would do it in front of you now, but I'm not sure if I remember it completely. You know, but at least you can go and do something. You can touch on my shoulder, and you can say, you know, and I'm so sorry. But do you know in our church, I might be wrong, but I think it's true. There are people that have never done that, I think, because they're afraid. And they think, if I greet the people that I'm friends with, isn't that enough? Well, you just read what the Bible says. Because I don't see love your neighbor well unless you don't know them and they don't speak the same language. Because if that was the command, I would never have to go overseas. I would never have to walk in a West African village and figure out what are the six or nine languages that might be speaking? Are they speaking right now? Oh, they spoke three different languages in a row looking for the one I know. It's just amazing And that is very, do you know, I hate doing that. But I do it because it pleases God to step out of my comfort zone and attempt to show a little bit of love. And sometimes they laugh at me because I get wrong, but they like me. And they treat me like one of theirs, just as they've done with the rest of you that have done the exact same thing. The exact same thing. I didn't ask permission, so I better not use Darlene's name. But she's gone down to Mexico many, many times. I'm not going to say anybody's name. And you remember what she does? Do you remember how many Mexican words that she can say? She says one. Anybody know what that one word is? The mysterious anonymous woman.
Hola.
Oh, the old church knows. The old woman. And does anybody down there like her? The women flock. They're all just loving on her and hugging on her. What is they saying? She has no idea. What is she saying? Well, they probably have some idea. It doesn't matter. Because I can see what they're saying. Doing this, hugging. They love each other. And she has done more to add women's ministries to what we do down there just by whispering in a leader's ear, this is what those ladies want. Is that anybody else? All you gotta have is like a one, two-syllable word? Hey, I think she could do it without a two-syllable word. I think she could do it with just her love, with just her hugs. Can you hug somebody? Can you love somebody? Can you learn one word? Hola. Can you do this? It's not, if you're really scared and they're here sometime, pick one of us and we'll go and take you down there. I can't translate anything either, but I'll do it with you. And I'll remember this one. Good to see you. I might even add here because I remember that one still. Good to see you here. All right, don't tell me whether you passed the test or not. And some of you are like, yes, did really well, great. I'm glad. If we work hard enough, I can find a way that you were challenged, and you certainly can find a way that I have been challenged. Because I'm like everybody else, I've got my fears and my comfort level. I just know that don't qualify me to disobey God. Love your neighbor well. And then finally, the last one, love is an action you choose, not a feeling you wait for. I think that was really important. The world teaches us, oh yeah, love, love, love. We all love each other. That's if you go to bed with them or something. No. Love is when you demonstrate the interest in them being more important than you and doing what God wants best in their life. That's foundational in all the marriage counseling, the premarital counseling I give, in most of the marriage counseling that I give, and probably most of the ways I'm challenged in my own life where I'm not loving God as I should. It's not a matter of getting a feeling. It's a matter of showing doing and action. So all this, you know, a lot of places have been talking about love for a month. At the beginning, we all say, oh, yes, love, love, love. We all love each other. But I want us to be thinking about the areas where we need to be stretched because we're not really showing the love of God. Where God would want us to show it. And so the big idea today is, this guy up front, he is not giving good catchy phrases at all, is he? Make disciples. Where on earth did I get that? And you know it's right there in the heart of those two verses. And so we've got four little points today in making disciples. And this is part of loving the nations. Is making disciples part of loving the nations? Test me and see if that is proven in the scriptures or not. And so we've got Matthew 28, 19, and 20. And we've got 4 points. And the first one is going. I just want to remind you of something you've heard multiple times before, but in case you're new here right now. In those two verses, which we call the Great Commission, we've been commissioned. This is what we're all supposed to be doing if we're followers of Jesus. There's 4 verbs. One of them is a command. It's the imperative. And that one is make disciples. The others are all participles. Whether your translation has it or not, I'm giving you the participle. Because that's what it would be. I put down there go to start with, but I thought, now I want to be honest to the text. It says go. Make disciples, and it tells you 3 things. Make disciples. Going. So we have verse 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're supposed to go. Now, to make disciples, that's the command you see in there. But we're supposed to go. And for some of us, that means going across an ocean, or at least leaving the country, or maybe going to another state. For some of us, going down to Baltimore. But, you know, there's some people that haven't figured out how yet to go across the street. And those all qualify of the going. How are we going to make a disciple of that person across the street if we never go? Now, you can't make it happen, but you can go and see what God's doing. And I'm almost certain if you go and talk to 10 people, they're not all going to say, I want to trust in Jesus. But maybe one will. Or maybe none will. Maybe the next 10, you might get 3-4 in a row. No, it's not how good are you. It's just, are you faithful? And see what God's going to do. I spent 2 days at an ice hockey tournament for little kids down in Ocean City. And I told my grandson the same thing I told my son. Doesn't matter if you win or lose. You know, follow your coach, be a good sport, and play hard. I want to see you out there. And your team can lose the game, but you can still win the game. If you do your position right and well. And I was really proud of them because both of them did a good job of doing that. That's what we're supposed to do with the Lord, too. Are you going to win this battle, you know, with somebody that's going to trust in Christ or not? I don't know. You can't do that. Never, we're going to have to make them become Christians. We just have to go. Go to people. Go to them. Yeah, you can set up an office in your house, put a sign outside. Anybody wants to know about Jesus, come and see me. But that's not in this Great Commission, is it? The Great Commission is to go. You have to go across the living room if you're married to somebody that's not a believer. You know, within family lines, outside the house, next door, at work, in school, virtually in school. You can be in contact with those people virtually. Find people and tell them about Jesus. I don't know anybody that's not a Christian that knows some people. Look, who's it working at the Wawa and the dry cleaners and the Burger King or whoever you interact with? Like, you've got to interact with somebody. You don't interact with somebody, you need to change that plan of action. And interact with people. Because remember, there's no love your neighbor well, love the nations well, as long as it's not uncomfortable for you. Because after all, the idea is God to tell you to do something that would make you. That's not what the Bible says. Go do it. Go. Well, so go across the ocean, go across the street, go somewhere. Why can't we just wait? Here's the most familiar of all verses possibly in the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved, emphasis there, the world. God loved the world. He gave his only Son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then the next verse continues. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. And do you remember? Love. God's got love here. He loves the nations. He loves other people. He loves the world. That's what it says. And he loves the world enough that he went and sent Jesus, knowing what was going to happen. Jesus came, knowing what was going to happen. That he sent them so that others could also love God. See, it's not true what the world teaches. That we're all basically good. We're all like, we're all naturally on good terms with God, unless you do something really, really bad. And what's the definition of really, really bad? Something I've never done. Whatever I do, it's not bad enough. Now, other people do things that are bad enough, but I never do that. And so people feel very, very comfortable. I've done all that God wants me to do. The scriptures have a completely different understanding, and that is that we're all separated from God. We're not basically good. We're not right with God at all. And that's why God sent Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus went when God the Father said, go? And he came to live a perfect life and to die on the cross and rise again from the dead. And that is the truth. Our hearts are changed because we trust in Jesus. And then he turns around and says, keep the ball rolling. Now, thankfully, you and I do not have to hang on a cross. Jesus did that once for all time. But we do need to go. Jesus went. And you and I need to wait. We need to go. We need to find people that we can talk to. And if you've been a Christian for a while, unless you're changing the folks that are around you, that you probably already talked to all of them. So you've got to change the folks around you and find some new folks that might not have heard the gospel yet. Now, let me bring up, by contrast, an interesting verse of scripture. 1 John 2:15-16, it says, do not love the world. Now, wait a second. It just says that God loved the world. Now we're not supposed to love the world or the things in the world. Then we love the world, the love of the Father is not even in him. And then you go on to very, very interesting verses there. Now, what is it? Do we love the world or do we not love the world? Well, you understand. I'm just throwing it there so I have an opportunity to point out that life it has just a little bit of complexity to it. We need to love the world enough to share the gospel with them, but not love their way of life. Their way of life is without God. Their way of life is without forgiveness. Their way of life is without a biblical morality. In fact, I've never lived at a time like this before. I don't think anybody here ever has either. Where there is so little that the Bible teaches that the world embraces. Or that what the world embraces is so 180 degrees off of what the Bible teaches. So here we have to love people enough to tell them the gospel, even though that's a little frightening, because they might come and say, intimidation. Somebody was teaching me the policy for the Department of Defense. You can go up to somebody one time and invite them to church, but if you invite them a second time, that's harassment. Wow. All right. You have to talk to God when you take chances with that or not, but if that's where it works in your workplace, do them one time and do it right. You know, invite them. If you come over, we'll have breakfast, we'll go there, we'll give you lunch, you know, stay for the whole day. We'll, build it up big. You only got one shot. But I guess maybe off-duty, maybe there's a way to do it. I don't know. But if you've got one, do that. Love them because you're supposed to go. But don't love what they believe, because then you're not going to want to go. All right, what are you going to do? You're going to go to do what? Baptizing. All right, now let's not get this wrong. Don't go with like a super soaker and go, I soak you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, that you're missing something there. Because what is baptizing? What does it encompass? Well, first, I should show you baptizing. Go to the Hermes, sense of you that the baptizing. You're going to make disciples going and baptizing. And baptism is, of course, the Christian symbol that somebody has been sorry for the sin, they've repented. Repented means they're living in the light in one direction, and they turn around, they're going to go in another direction. And when that happens, there's like a change of life. And particularly with children, I always ask the parents first, before I would baptize, I want to know, does the child understand the gospel? Can they tell me the gospel? Do they understand if I ask questions? But I want to ask the parents, have you seen a change in their life? Because if the gospel's in there, something should be changing. I'm not saying it'll be perfect. I'm not saying that they have the whole New Testament memorized or know everything in good and systematic theology. But have you seen a change? Have you seen something change when that happens when the Holy Spirit comes in there? I want to see that. I like to know about it in an adult too. And they're supposed to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like, some people say it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. And that's wrong. It does matter what you believe. We believe in a Trinitarian God, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're each God. And if there's only one God, how can that be? I just shot my water on that one. I have to ask somebody smarter than I am. They're three in one. One God, three persons, equal. Same substance. Performing different roles. As taught in the scripture, that's the God. The one in the Bible, that's the one we're saying you trust in that one. Trust that Jesus died and rose again from the dead. So when they believe, right, this is kind of encapsulating, you know, the gospel here. Have they trusted in the gospel? And is their life new or changed? And, Luke 24:45-47, then he opened, this is Jesus, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written, I love that, It is written in the past there, it was written in the past, and it still is enforced, it feels effective now. It is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and the repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. I want to make sure that we saw all of that was in there. The Bible says that Jesus died, he rose again, and people repent. That's the gospel we're supposed to go and we're sharing in the name of all, in his name, all the nations. So let me just back up again. They've repented for the forgiveness of sins, and it should be proclaimed. There is somebody should go and proclaim it to all the nations, beginning Jerusalem. Start where you're at and then go beyond it. How are they going to hear if somebody doesn't tell them? How's somebody going to tell them if they don't go? You've got to go and tell. They hear, then they can believe. And that's what it says in Luke chapter 24. I did a little study and went through the Bible, and you can do it so easily digitally now. You know, how does God feel about nations? And it's all over the place. And I kept putting it down, putting it down, putting it down. I just want to give you two right now, just to show you a couple of them. From Exodus, and this is talking about Moses, Exodus 9:16. For this purpose, I have raised you up. Look at Moses, one of the great, great leaders of the Hebrew people. I've raised you up to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. I want you to know me, so you can tell and you can spread the whole earth. And that's with us. God wants us to know him, so that we can proclaim his glory to all the earth. And then here in Psalm 86, this is David speaking. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord. And nations is in there a lot in the Old Testament. And shall glorify your name. Isn't that something? And so God wants us to go, tell the gospel until the place where they're ready to trust it and get baptized. And then when they're saved and they're baptized, teach them. And if you are not a Christian, which is talking about us, we can tell you about it. If you are a Christian, where are you learning how to teach? With whom are you sharing what you're learning? Most people should be being discipled by somebody and turning around and discipling someone else. Learning something, how to live for Jesus, and passing on to others. And so in the Great Commission, you're supposed to go, proclaim, they get baptized when they trust, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Hey, isn't it nice when it's all this together? Some of us are better at some parts of us than others. But we're all doing something. And if you're not doing one of these, what are you doing? Because this is the Great Commission. Teaching them to observe all I commanded you. There it is again, 1 John 5. If you love God, you tell you love God now, you're going to keep his commands. And you're going to teach them what the commands are. Because you want them to know what that negative is. To avoid it so they get a few positives. And there's plenty of positives that are commanded also. And look at this. Behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. I want to make sure I finish that verse. And so if you're teaching them, and you want them to observe, you want them to know, yeah, this is, I can tell you all the things that God doesn't like and God does like, I'm not going to follow any of them. No, you're supposed to observe them. And these are commanded by God. And this is what a disciple does. The word disciple, you know what that means? Literally translated means to learn. And so this is right here, being disciples. There are people who are learning. We've got to teach them something so they can learn. Every one of us should be learning. It's all, you know, there's the Bible studies on Sunday morning, and you can get them, you know, at home. Just ask somebody for a Zoom link. We've got a co-ed class, a ladies' class. We could have more classes if there was more people that had an interest in learning. And then we've got the small groups, and we've got ladies' discipleship, and we've got men's thing starting. And we've got individual discipleship things. George can tell you what's going on in the discipleship team, how you can get involved in one of these things. If you want to learn, we've got plenty of opportunities for you to learn. And you should be learning because you're supposed to be part of this going, baptizing, and teaching. But then there's the promise, I already read it to you. Jesus is with you. It's in verse 20, where Jesus says, I'm with you always. This is a lot to ask somebody to do. But it's okay because he says, I am going to be there with you. I will be with you. I will be with you always. Is this his plan? nations? Yeah. Make disciples all over the place? Just can't in one room. Even if you're the only one doing it, you can't do it on your own. Because you need God's power. You can be the weakest player we've got on our team. But if you have trust in Jesus, you might be more productive than I. Because God's power flows through to the people that are connected to Him and have learned how to abide and be faithful. And just do, so if I've got 27 fancy answers to something, maybe that doesn't really matter. Maybe we need just one person who loves well. And Jesus is with you if you want to do that. Here's his plan. Look at Revelation. The Apostle John got a little peek in the future. And you know these are here. Just a little section of verse 9, Revelation 5, 9. For you were slain, this is talking about Jesus, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from God. You ransom people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. How can we get across the point any better than that? That God knows people are different from us. All over the place. And that's not somebody else's job. It's your job, my job, if we're followers of Jesus. And then again, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, where it talks about seeing all these people who are worshiping, a great multitude, no good number. What else is going to be busy at that church? And they're from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Isn't it nice? Because things are so global now. You can witness to people from many different languages and tribes and people and nations right here. Right here in Maryland. In fact, you can go to churches in 20-some languages just that are our sister churches. And don't say, well, they're doing a job. All right, well, go support them in doing that job. There's still people around. There's still folks that live. There's some of your neighbors that aren't the same nation, tribe, people, and language. Do you love them? Because that is God's plan. So I wanted to tell you about this British bus company. They were getting complaints. And in the complaints, the people were calling in and saying, this bus, I was standing in line for the bus and the bus sped past me and didn't pick me up. And lots of people were complaining like that. The bus company's answer was that it depended on the drivers. They said it's impossible for the driver to be able to keep his timetable if he's always stopping and picking people up. See, they got a great system. If you get rid of the people, the system would go fine. But he had missed the purpose of the bus company, which is to pick people up and transport them. Try to get the timetable right, but transport the people. So back in the 80s, I used to always have, every year, a pastoral intern with me. One of my interns was a wonderful guy. Terrible person to be a pastor. He said, I don't like working with children. I wish he had told me that before we hired him to work with children. You know, he was all about it when we were hiring him. Then he came there and he said, well, I don't really like working with children. And I don't really like working with women. And I don't really like working with men, but if they sit quietly in the classroom, I don't mind teaching them. And at the end, before I tell you what this guy said, I wrote back to the school and sent him to me, and I said, whatever you do, I've said this any other time. Whatever you do, don't let this guy ever get a church. Do anything to make sure he never gets a church. Because he'll kill it. He'll kill it. He told me with his own lips, being a pastor would really be a great job if it wasn't for all the people. There you go. He wanted to shepherd people without anything to do with any of them. He missed the purpose of being a pastor. Have we missed the purpose of being a church? To love God, to love one another, to love other people. And you know what? We're doing pretty good at most of these things, aren't we? To make disciples, to love the nations, to all the nations. Do you know, sad to say, I think probably in our midst there's a few people that their purpose of church is different than make disciples of all the nations. Their purpose is different than how I'm going to love others. Their purpose is, if I'm interpreting correctly what they say to me, to love me. That's the purpose of the church. I've had people tell me, I don't want to join your church because you're already doing so much for me, I don't think I would get any more if I actually committed to join. See, they clearly don't understand the purpose of the church. Maybe the church is for entertainment. How many times have we heard this?
Yeah.
That the church is to make us feel good about ourselves. That the church is to make us feel comfortable about life. The church is maybe to help us to learn some things. But always within our comfort zone. Anybody who says that has missed the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to love other people, to love one another, to love God, and to love the nations enough that we are going to make disciples that are going to follow Jesus. And what did you get, Esther? Name all the associate pastors that we've had who are not on the mission field right now. Okay, that was easy. Name two or three missionaries that you prayed for in West Africa. Name one West African we've seen trust in Jesus, this church planting right now. Name one or two people that we've worked with in Mexico. Name a missionary that's come out of our association who only goes by two letters to her name. You know, I, as I look around, I know many of you can answer every one of those things I just said like that. And if you're saying, I have no clue what you're talking about, that's fine if you're brand new. But if you're a member of this church, shame on you. Because your command is to love others enough that you care for them, to make disciples about them, and you want to be a part of that business if you're not going there, that you're going to pray for and support some of the people that are. That's God's purpose for the church. Or have you missed it? Are you living this out? Loving nations, making disciples. Teaching. Going. Baptizing. Teaching. And for you, that promise is true, that Jesus is with you now, as you're doing this commission, and always. Thank you for loving God so well. Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, I wanted each of us to be tested a little bit, myself included, because each of us has room to grow. I pray, Lord, that somewhere in this month, we've seen how greatly you love us and how much we need your help to love each other and to love our neighbors, to love our enemies, to love the nations enough to want to make disciples other places or people from other backgrounds. No room for racism, Lord. Help us. Help, Father, bless the ones who are loving with all their heart that they can grow and find some more. Bless those dear ones who love our church and have missed the purpose of the church altogether. Help them, Lord, through your guiding word, get on track again with your purpose in loving each other, loving other people, loving the nations because we love you. I pray in the name of Jesus.